Hey everyone, welcome to the KBB From the Tap podcast. I'm your host, Chelsea Butler, KBB's executive editor. Today, I am welcoming Pam McNally, Senior Vice President of Marketing and Digital for the NKBA, and she is going to talk to us about 2024 kitchen and bath trends to look out for, as well as some we'd like to say goodbye to. So welcome, Pam, and thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Chelsea. Thank you for having me. I'm super excited to be here.
Absolutely. Okay, so we're going to start out kind of on a different vein, I guess. I want to talk about technology. And I know that the NKBA's recent bath report said this is taking off a lot in the bathroom. So can you expand on that? I usually hear about it a lot.
I think we all know that technology has kind of reshaped the two most important rooms in the house, the kitchen and the bath. But particularly in the bath, people are looking for a much more spa-like experience. So to be able to kind of give that experience, designers are turning to, you know, shower systems that you can remotely start, steam showers, heated floors. There's also a movement in lighting to be able to create these kind of mood sets in the bath. And that usually is done through technology and again, through an app. We found that, you know, aromatherapy, chromotherapy, hydro tubs, giving everyone that kind of wellness feeling really does start in some way, shape, or form with layering technology, because most of our designers are saying that their clients are used to using an app, hands-free, talking to Alexa, and not having to worry about, you know, stepping into a shower to actually turn it on. So I think technology has really changed, the bath and the way that our, you know, homeowners use it and the expectations they have.
All right. And I wanted to talk briefly about technology that's not necessarily connected, because I feel like that kind of takes a backseat. Like when we hear technology, we think everything is smart. But are other forms of technology taking off, like charging stations, induction heating and countertops, that kind of stuff that's not necessarily connected?
Sure. I mean, if we're going to, obviously not everything is connected. So you talk about induction, that's mostly, I think, less about technology and more about sustainability. So when you talk about, if we're going to talk about the kitchen, yes, charging stations, but hidden, right? But what's interesting to me is that we're moving away from, you know, plugging in and more, conducted, charging through surfaces like countertops on islands. So I feel what you're going to see as we move away from having, you know, obvious, outlets, people want things hidden. So being able to just to lay your phone down or even put your computer on top of a surface like the island and have the charge automatically, or have something in the ceiling that enables you to charge without wires. Wires are messy. Outlets are messy, and people don't want mess anymore. And the same thing in the bath. I mean, if you think about mirrors, I don't know if you consider smart mirrors, but, you know, the lighted technology for mirrors today, everyone wants, a lit mirror that will just throughout the day transform. So, you know, not everything is smart, but, you know, most things are probably in some way, shape or form tied into either voice or an app in today's world.
All right. Yeah, I've seen some of those countertop, like the charging, hidden charging. They're going to be at KBIS, and they seem like there are a couple of new companies out there too.
Well, I just remember at last KBIS, Cosentino, you know, creating a big stir because they kind of showed one of their surfaces that, you know, had some connectivity in it that you could charge. And I have to say, it's been around for a while. It has been around. It just has not, for whatever reason, it has not taken off. I do think that now that everyone's moving more towards streamlined, eliminating a lot of fuss and a lot of details, that there is a better chance, or hopefully a better chance, that will take off. And also technology is better.
All right, I'm going to pivot over to accessibility. We've obviously been hearing about zero threshold showers, grab bars, and everything for a few years now. What will be taking off in 2024 in this arena?
So I think that, I think lighting is also a big part of it. So yes, grab bars. But I think what homeowners has always been looking for is grab bars and shower seating that is not unattractive. I mean, that is attractive, that looks good. I think that a lot of, you know, what we used to see, we always thought of, and I hate to say this, you know, it just looked like not attractive in a shower. It looked like somebody who was older. But now I think what you're seeing is you're seeing designers and products that are much more modern and update and streamlined that look beautiful. So yes, so definitely heated seating, you know, grab bars that are integrated, and also lighting, you know, it's big toe kick lighting, very big, so that when you walk into a primary bath, you don't have to worry about, you know, sometimes you don't want the full light on. So you walk in and the toe kick lighting goes on, and the same thing in the kitchen. It also has a nice ambiance. So I think you're seeing a lot more of that, especially since I think we talked about this. Homeowners kind of staying in their home because, you know, their mortgage rates are lower, under 5%. Moving would be much more expensive. So, you know, the majority of them are thinking, I'm going to stay in my home. And then this is going to be it. This is my forever home. This isn't my starter home. This is my forever home. So everything should be accessible. And it's not just for aging in place. You know, many people have, you know, hip replacement surgery. They have other types of surgery. So making sure that the kitchen and bath are accessible when you're recovering, no matter what age you are, it has become very important.
Yeah, absolutely. We did an article for our Outlook for this next issue, and that was the consensus that this is people's forever home, and they want to spend the money to make it accessible and great to live in. So,
yeah, I mean, as one design, I think one designer said in the study, I just remember this because it was such a large number, like 75% of his clients are looking to live in place. So they want their primary baths to be relaxing and safe. They want their kitchens to be accessible. So, you know, what does that mean? Because kitchens are also, just remember, it's not just baths, it's kitchen. You're going to see a lot of kitchen designs going forward that are not going to have, you know, upper cabinets. Not only because of accessibility, because it's much easier to bend down and use a lower, deeper cabinet, you know, as you age, mm-hmm. or if you have issues with your back, which a lot of us do, like myself, but also people want more windows. They want more light in their kitchen. So taking away the upper cabinets allow you then to create oversized windows, add in much more light, natural light.
So I want to talk about color because I feel like it's always all over the place. You know, you can see with the different colors of the year and everything, but I've always talked about how I don't really like the white kitchen, which isn't 100% true. It depends on how it's done. But where do you feel like we stand with that? I feel like it's not going anywhere for certain tastes, but I'm seeing kitchens with pops of color with mm-hmm. the white, but also like full kitchens with color. So I'm curious to see where we're going there.
It's interesting. You know, we talk about the moody kitchen, right? The dark kitchen with the dark cabinets and the dark backsplashes. And that's happening as well. But I think you're right. Look, you know, a lot of people love a white kitchen. But I do think what you are seeing is that they're getting a little tired of the blinding white, meaning everything is white. So what you're seeing is kind of move away from that monotone and more towards, say, having your island cabinetry in a color or wood tones, because wood is also, because as we shift more towards organic and this kind of natural feeling, wood tones are becoming almost like a color. So you're seeing, yes, you might see white cabinetry, you know, upper lower, but your island would be wood tone, or you might see white cabinetry on the lower and wood tone on the upper, or there might be one wall. And I just saw this, which was stunning. One wall of floor to ceiling, you know, wood texture cabinetry, which was quite beautiful. So in addition to white, because let me just say, I don't think we're getting away from white. I think everyone, you know, that, you know, our homeowners love white, but they are mixing in color and a little bit of texture, particularly on the backsplashes, giving that little bit, that little hint of a graphic pop. And, you know, I would say that, you know, there is this move away from hardware, you know, soft touch, open cabinetry, kind of keeping everything streamlined. But what we are also seeing is touches of, you know, bold hardware to kind of give that modern look, kind of a statement, more of a statement piece than anything else.
So you touched a little bit on lighting before, but I feel like it's being given a lot more attention in the last few years and probably always will from now on, hopefully. I know it can definitely make or break a project, but What I'm curious to know is, do you think that design professionals out there are trying to become more educated in this?
100%. I mean, we're doing a lighting summit in June because we have had so many of our members ask us for information, education. You know, we do these design webinars, and I have to say that the number one thing they ask for is information on lighting. Lighting is not an easy thing. And, you know, there are some designers that prefer to work with a professional lighting designer. But also, there are a lot of companies out there that do that service for designers. But I have to say, the one word that comes to mind when I think about lighting going forward is layered. There is no one specific lighting story. Most every room, and particularly in the kitchen and bath, when lighting is so important, you're seeing layered lighting. You have your statement pendants, and you have your task, and like we talk about, you know, the real story maybe might be the under cabinet, in cabinet, and toe kick lighting, which everyone kind of ignored for a while, but now has really come into its own. And then also we talk about that throughout the day, these kind of lighting sets giving you different ambiances for not only that the time of day, but also for the mood and an event you might be having. So yes, I think lighting has become probably one of the most important things. And not that it never was important, it's just that people didn't focus on it. Designers and even homeowners didn't focus on it. And now I think you're seeing homeowners are becoming much more educated and seeing what really good layered lighting can do for their rooms.
Yeah, I definitely think it's important. And I feel like homeowners before like just didn't know
Right.
what was going on. I mean, I know a house I lived in with my ex. There was just one light in the kitchen, a fluorescent panel. And it's just he kept all the lights off in the house all the time because he didn't have any. I mean,
Right.
they were just like little floor lamps and just really dated stuff. And he's gotten into just getting cans, and you go in there
Yeah,
now and it's like, wow, it's so bright in here compared to what it used to be. It's crazy.
I think it's a kind of thing that homeowners have become much more educated in seeing that there's just not one lighting pattern, there's not one lighting source. And that is where I have to say lighting technology comes into play. And I think that it is complicated, and you do need a professional to help you out because there's so many different aspects of lighting. And like I said, technology and lighting, I don't think you can separate the two. And I think homeowners are more and more expecting not to have to do too much and expecting that the lighting changes, either via voice or timing based on an app. So again, I think technology is also integrated, into lighting so much that you can't separate the two these days.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. Okay, so I'm going over to outdoor kitchens, and these have been popular ever since I can remember, for years and years. And I know they've definitely evolved since the pandemic. I guess I'm curious to know, is everybody, are all homeowners trying to incorporate this, no matter what their space constraints or budget or anything? Like what are they doing?
So we did this outdoor kitchen study last year, and almost all of the designers we talked to said that any new home built today has an outdoor area that includes a kitchen. And it could be just as simple as a built-in grill with a built-in mini refrigerator. But no home today, no matter what the cost is, it does not have some sort of outdoor space that includes some sort of outdoor kitchen appliance. But in most, I would say most, if you're a luxury home, you have an outdoor space. And usually what happens is that kitchen is almost a replica of your indoor kitchen, which is so amazing to me. When we talked to designers, they were saying that homeowners, especially at that upper level, are looking for their outdoor kitchen to be almost exactly like their indoor kitchen. And really, to be honest, a seamless transition from, and it might be more than one. So you might have one off your kitchen, you might have one off your family room. So there it is becoming a part of the home. It really is becoming almost integrated into a home build or a home renovation.
That's curious to me because I would think some people out there would want it to be a little different. Like, this is not so different that it doesn't seem like it's within the same house, but just for the outdoor space to kind of have its own personality.
So there might be person, but here's what I would tell you. A lot of the materials today you can use indoor, outdoor. So what's happening is that designers are creating using that indoor, that outdoor material indoors, and that same material to kind of, to, you know, draw that same look and feel outdoors. Now, obviously you're not going to have, you know, some of the same things, but I think that people want that space outdoors to almost feel like an indoor space, because even in the colder climates, you're seeing people want to spend time outside on their patios using their outdoor kitchens. And now that many people are incorporating heating systems in their outdoor spaces, it's almost like another room.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, so we can't forget the pets. I know there's been an uptick in pet-friendly features like built-in pet storage and you know, crates and easy to clean durable materials. I think I've even seen something on smart tech for pets in the form of pet monitoring systems, automated pet doors. Where do you think this is going to stick around in 2024? And how do you, if so, how do you think it might evolve?
100%. I mean, I think I, you know, I was speaking to a designer a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about, you know, I'm looking to build, and, you know, I was saying, I'd love to have, you know, the water dishes, everything kind of put away. And she goes, she doesn't do a kitchen today or a mudroom today that doesn't have an area for, you know, hidden pet, whether it's food, you know, kitty litter, but also what's becoming increasingly important, whether it's in the mudroom, whether it's in another room, or even your own bath, is showers and areas to wash the dogs off, which I find so amazing. Even pet rooms, specific pet rooms, where you will have a grooming station, and that will include their own shower. So, and even primary baths that have a lower built-in shower head for the, you know, the owners to bring their dog in and wash them off. So I think that's not going away. I think it's becoming a much more integrated and a part of, you know, the kitchen, the bath, and every other part of the home.
All right. I can't forget about sustainability. And I know this is huge in our industry, but I'm wondering if are homeowners taking more of an interest in this? Because most of the designers I speak to say they are the ones who are suggesting these sustainable elements, not necessarily their clients.
So it's interesting. In the last study we did, there is a little bit of a shift. So we had that same thing. We heard designers telling us they were the ones that were pushing sustainability, and really, and the homeowners were okay with it as long as it didn't cost more. Right. I think that was really the breaking point. If it cost more, then they were not interested, or if it was going to take longer, et cetera. But what's happening is that there's a shift now. And maybe it's because we're seeing all of what's happening with our environment, you know, with these swings in you know, the temperatures, and also kind of these natural disasters that there seem to be a lot more. So there has been a shift where homeowners are now more interested in sustainability. And yes, price is always going to be a factor. But if there's a way for them to have products that will last longer, so they don't have to buy new and contribute, you know, to our landfills. Also, looking more into recycled and organic materials for countertops and flooring, sustainability is really becoming much more important. And it may not be the first thing that homeowners think about, but if it's brought up to them, they definitely will jump on it. So there is that shift where homeowners are becoming increasingly aware of, and they've always been aware of, obviously, you know, making sure, you know, using LEDs and, but now water conservation, you know, food storage is also a big part of it, you know, making sure that food doesn't spoil as quickly. You know, so I think you're seeing a lot more of that, and I think you'll see that increase even more.
So that kind of leads into my next question to talk about wellness. I did want to see if there was going to be more of an interest in keeping food fresh and, you know, the technology that kind of tells you when things are ready to spoil. So, you know, is that going to be something that we're going to see more of?
I think people are looking for better storage solutions. I think every appliance company is looking to educate the consumer about, you know, making sure that they're keeping their foods fresher. People are looking for less preserved foods. So this whole shift toward wellness also does include better storage for food. And that might mean different types of storage. You know, and also what you're seeing is, you know, we talk about more than one appliance, but the way, you know, using, we talk about induction, but we also talk about, you know, the different types of cooking. So induction cooking will increase, you know, looking for, you know, better ways to cook, different types of appliances that will keep your food fresh. I think you're going to see a lot more of that. It's kind of going back to the days when, sure, we refrigerated food, but now people are looking for other ways to make food last longer that doesn't involve, preserved, you know, less chemicals in food.
All right, let me put this cat down.
One thing also is that there's a lot of movement, I shouldn't say a lot, that's not the right word. There's a shift towards also the whole idea of creating your own kind of, miniature garden, you're seeing some appliance companies come out within their refrigerator, being able to grow your own spices, grow your own different types of food in the refrigerator, building out, mini gardens in, say the pantry. There is that movement towards that. Whether or not that will be sustained, I'm not sure.
Okay. So your recent report mentioned something, you know, the popularity of multi-use islands. But I feel like that's kind of been the case for a while. So can you kind of expand on that a little bit?
So I think it's always been, but I think what islands were used for, you know, prepping. And then you might have a kitchen table or a dining room, right, that you would eat. But now what's happening is that, you know, islands are actually probably the focal point in kitchens. And if somebody can, if a homeowner can increase their kitchen, why they're increasing it is because they want to add another island. Because nowadays, you know, having two islands is probably what most people are looking for, because you use one for prep, one for serving, the other for eating, the other for home, you know, for homework and work from home. The kitchen table isn't going away. It's just being transformed. What's going away, what people are saying is the dining room. Because they're taking over the dining room and adding that to the kitchen so they can make their kitchen bigger. So they can add another island, a much bigger island. You know, it might be an island that is, you know, 5x8, that's tiered. So I think the island has now become kind of this focal point, but also multifunctional. So again, if you also don't have a pantry, and you're looking for storage, that island is going to be a storage area. It's also a way to, like we talk about, hide your smaller appliances. You might have another, like you might have your drawer dishwasher there, another microwave. So a microwave drawer. So it's becoming more of a multifunctional and multi-purpose. And again, having more than one island is probably, you're going to see more of that, again, if you can increase the size or the footprint of the kitchen.
Yeah, I was going to say, can we all be so lucky as to have two islands?
or if you can't, then you're increasing the size of the island.
Right.
You're making it quite big. Almost like a dining room table, you know, making it bigger so that you can use different parts of it for different things.
So for the dining room space, I mean, obviously in new builds, maybe they just don't even create that anymore. I'm not sure.
It's called a flex room. So basically, Your dining space would be attached to your kitchen, you know, breakfast area, whatever you want to call it. And then usually what I've been seeing is that there would be something they would call flex space, office space, or it could be used as a dining room. But you don't see a lot of, quote unquote, specific dining rooms anymore.
So, yeah, I mean, we're talking about stuff that has a certain budget number to it. So as far as like the personalized solutions and vanities, are those now becoming available for all project budgets? Because I know that's a big deal too.
When you say, are you talking about, you know, customization?
And then, you know, like the outlets in the drawers and just, that kind of stuff.
anytime something becomes, and that's all really popular, that's popular. Having refrigeration in the bathroom for your cosmetics and your medicines is popular. You know, when things become popular like that, you know, prices come down. So there, yes, I think it's becoming much more attainable. And even if someone thinks they can't afford it, they can at least afford one thing. They can afford, you know, hidden outlets in the vanity, or even a small refrigeration unit. Or I got to tell you my favorite thing. People think they can't afford, heating options for towels, but using kind of a drawer warmer in your kitchen. That was one solution that always stuck with me, how using something that was in the kitchen, a warming drawer, and putting it in the bathroom for your towels. So I think that there is always a way to find a solution to, it may not be everything, but you at least could probably get one or two things into your space that you want from a customized or personalized option.
All right. Just have to touch on the gas situation. What is your take on the choices outside of gas for ranges, and where do you think we'll be with that in a few years?
I mean, I don't think gas is going away. I mean, I think everybody today, all the appliance companies have an option for induction. I mean, look, you know, we all have heard about induction. We've heard about some states, you know, banning gas and only going for induction. We don't have an opinion one way or the other, but I think everyone likes options. One of the things about induction, to be honest with you, that I always hear is in some way, shape or form, gives it a little bit of a leg up over gas, particularly are the grills. Let's just all agree that if you have a gas, like a chef, range with the cast iron grills, they're a pain to clean. So having a smooth surface, easier to clean. And also in some way, shape or form, easier and safer if you have children. So I don't think gas is going away. And I think induction will continue to grow as an option. Or, you know, there are some people that want both. So you're also seeing kind of these hybrid, ranges where they might have both. So I just always think options are a good thing.
So brands have to keep up.
I think they all are, though. I think what you're not seeing, though, is I think what's lagging a little bit is the size. So maybe you're not going to get the full 48. You have a 48 range. Am I going to get a 48, 48 inch induction cooktop? I have not seen too many of those. So maybe it's just more about the sizing than it is about it. But I think most of your major appliance companies today have some option for induction,
Yeah, I agree. I think they're doing a great job of, meandering yep. through that challenge for sure. So, all right. So lastly, we've been talking about everything that's going to be popular. I wanted to see what your take was on some of the things that are losing traction in the kitchen and bath industry.
I think that what's losing traction? I mean, I don't know if this is, but let's talk about, shaker style or, the traditional look. I think you're seeing a lot of people shift more towards, like I said, that clean European lines in the kitchen, frameless doors. I think hardware is becoming more of a statement piece than being used everywhere. So I also, people are looking, and I don't know if, like we talked about white isn't going away, but a stark white kitchen likely is. So what else? And then I think, and here's what's interesting to me in the bath. So there's always this argument about, okay, I want to make the bigger showers are, let's just all agree, a bigger shower is what everybody wants. People want a shower that can have two shower heads, three shower heads. You can have your significant other, your kids are going to join you. So, but sometimes people cannot expand the footprint. So what do? They take away the tub. So there's always this argument, I think, within the community about, is it really a luxury bath if there's no tub? So I'm not saying tubs are going away, but it is the number one thing that is pulled out. If a bigger shower is needed, and you can't increase the footprint of the bath. So whether or not it's losing traction, it really depends, I think, on practicality. So I think you're seeing, that. And I also feel like, just a traditional toilet is probably going away for smart or, bidet seats, which we all, if you would have asked us that 5 years ago, we would have been no way. But now I think most newer homes and even, homes that older homes are adding those in. I think it's becoming the expected. So I think what's going away is maybe, like you said, I mean, smart technology is transforming every room. Going into a house that doesn't have some sort of voice activation or smart tech probably makes it less appealing to on the real estate market.
All right. Well, thank you so much. I've seen so many, trend reports and things that have come out, and I wanted to take a deeper dive with you for sure to just, find out what exactly we are going to be seeing for 2024 and beyond. So thank you so much for talking to us, and can't wait to catch up with you and all your team at KBiz here in like a month.
Oh, it's terrible. It's 5 weeks. I cannot believe we're here again. I mean, I love it. I'm so excited, but I'm thinking all the things that we have to do to get ready for it. And I'm like, oh my gosh. But thank you, Chelsea. I appreciate you having me. And, as always, super fun. Thank you.
Be sure to subscribe to KBB's YouTube channel and click the like button on our videos. You can also subscribe to KBB's From the Tap podcast on such apps as Apple, Spotify, Pandora, and Google Podcasts, and please feel free to leave a review.